Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait till you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the no animals were harmed message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.
Fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
We need to roll back the state. We spy on all of our own citizens.
Our prisons are flooded with nonviolent drug offenders.
If you want to know who America's next enemy is, look at who we're funding right now.
Every single one of these problems are a result of government being way too big.
Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome to a brand new episode of Part of the Problem. Of course, I am Dave Smith, the voice and soul of liberty, and he is the king of the cocks, Robbie the Fire Bernstein. Neither of us are in front of fireplaces for this episode, but if you want to get a look at a good fire, just check any major city across America, and you'll probably get all the fire that you need. Rob, sometimes there's those episodes where you're like, I don't even know what we should talk about on today's show. And then there's episodes like these where there is really quite a lot going on.
I'm kind of exhausted from looting all day, so I'm just going to sit back and really let you kind of drive the bus on this one.
Yeah, I can see in the background you got a whole bunch of cool shit there. Rob was the only one looting encyclopedias, evidently.
Yeah, well, no one else was going for it, and it's really all they left behind. I was a little slow. I haven't been getting all my cardio in, so once they broke down the glass, I was huffing and puffing back.
Well, this is it's a pretty crazy situation that's going on in the country right now, and I guess that's been true for several different situations over the last few years, but particularly over the last 3 months. But I wanted to record this podcast and talk about it because I do think, like as with as is the case in, with so many of these issues, I do think that we oftentimes have a little bit of a different perspective and can kind of interpret these situations in a little bit of a different way than most people who are in this space commenting on this type of stuff do. And that's because, you know, we look at things through kind of a different lens, I guess, than a lot of society does. But so I just want to kind of go through everything that's going on, go through the story and give our take on it. So there was this guy, George Floyd. Is that right? That's his name, right? Yeah. George Floyd. And he died in police custody after being arrested, and a cop basically put his knee to the back of his neck and kind of sat on him with his knee for about 9 straight minutes while he was on the ground in handcuffs, screaming, "I can't breathe." There's video of the whole situation. Really, really horrific stuff. Just hard to watch, painful shit. And he died shortly after. The cops threw him in an ambulance and he died. let me just say, first of all, that I'm not a big fan of the cops. That's kind of an understatement. That's been a pretty consistent theme of part of the problem since this podcast started. The central theme of this show is basically that the state is a criminal organization, and criminal in the moral sense of the word, not in the legal sense, of course. The state isn't criminal in the legal sense because they decide what is and is not criminal, but governments are criminal organizations in a moral sense, and that's all that we should really care about. I mean, that's really what matters. I mean, slavery was not criminal in the legal sense. It was the law of the land, and most genocides around the world haven't been, you know, illegal. So who really cares about what's illegal when you're judging whether something is right or wrong? What you care about is morality. And states are criminal organizations, and the cops are the enforcement wing domestically of this criminal organization. I'm not a fan. I'm not a big fan. I was, you know, so funny. Just the other day, I think it was the Part of the Problem Clips Twitter page. They found that old video of me arguing with Christine. Fuck. Oh shit. I'm blanking on her name. It'll come back to me in a second. But arguing with her, the city councilwoman in New York, said I was
the
talking,
Nazi line.
Yeah, yeah, I basically got her to embrace the Nuremberg defense. We said, well, they're just following orders. And that's how you're supposed to look at cops. It's like, well, they're just following orders. And as if that's some type of moral defense. It's like, so what if you, no matter how evil the order is, you're just going to follow it? Anyway, I've never been a fan of cops. I think that they are essentially a criminal organization themselves in this country. And they're a group of people, objectively, in America, who can harass, kidnap, and kill people, and almost always with impunity. Now, there are exceptions to that, and this might be one of those cases. But they, you know, they can do things that if any other person did, we would all agree that person is a criminal. But because they have a blue uniform and a shiny badge, we're supposed to, you know, think that somehow they're above these moral rules. Again, another central theme of this show is that if there are moral rules, then people can't be above them. That's the essence of morality. They're universals. You can't have some moral belief at, like, you can't say killing is wrong you can't say murder is wrong, unless we decide to put you in a special suit and then this one guy gets to murder. Well, no, that doesn't work. Let me just say right away, I mean, what the cops did to George Floyd was just outrageous. I'm sorry. First of all, I believe the crime was like, he was passing counterfeit bills, which
$20.
Yeah. Which is a whole nother, you know, thing to point out that, of course, we just did a show on the Federal Reserve a couple episodes back, and counterfeiting is only okay if you're in the Federal Reserve, evidently. So he had to counterfeit the money. It's not as if he was some violent criminal, but to be completely honest, even if you are a violent criminal, a cop's job should not be to like enact revenge or fucking get his rocks off in some weird way by like punishing somebody who's on the ground. He was in cuffs on his belly. There were, I think, four cops there. There was no need to fucking throw your knee in the back of a human being's neck and sit there for 9 minutes with it.
Also, I would think counterfeiting is a crime you really got to see a judge and gather some evidence for, because it's pretty, I would think, I mean, I've never run into the situation, but how do you prove that a guy actually counterfeited the bill, didn't receive the bill, and then accidentally spent it? You really have to have quite the evidence of motive there. So to treat someone automatically as guilty off of a reporter receiving a counterfeit bill, I don't know any more details about that, because in this case, you saw visual evidence that was so horrifying that anything prior to that video being turned on, like I was saying, like initially I was like, even if that was a homeless dude who took a swing at a cop, that was out of line. What happened on that recording was completely inappropriate. So it doesn't even really matter what the crime was in this case, because we just visually saw a guy who was getting off on the fact that he had the power to do so. And he was making a scene out of the fact that people were trying to challenge, you know, his authority by basically going, all right, you're going to challenge me, then I'm just going to, like, we're going to stay here. Unless you guys kind of let me do my thing, we're just going to make this worse.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. And, you know, your point on counterfeiting is well taken. But honestly, in this case, it doesn't matter. It's beside the point. I don't care if he knew. I don't care if he resisted arrest. I don't care if he swung at a cop before this. It does not matter. Your job as a police officer is not to fucking get your kicks out or get your revenge. Your job is, right, to apprehend somebody if they need to be, and then let the justice system, right, figure out what the punishment is. You don't just administer the punishment out there in the street. That's like some fucking crazy shit that nobody should be okay with. And, you know, anyway, it's all just horrible. So the cops sit there with his knee on this guy's neck. He ends up dying. There's, I think, three other cops who are around who just kind of watch and don't do anything. And there's video of it. So it starts generating a ton of outrage online. And, you know, I completely agree with being outraged about the situation. I really do. And I think, you know, to me, that's the cops murdered this guy. And it's a fucking, you know, just piece of shit cops. They deserve fucking to get, you know, the worst punishment. They should all have unquestionably been fired and arrested immediately. Now, the one guy has been fired and arrested and charged with third degree murder. But the others have not, at least as of that, the recording of this podcast.
That to me is the biggest problem of these whole things, is that typically speaking, they don't just instantly turn on these guys. They go, well, you know, we're on team cop and we've got to be out there protecting everybody. So we've got to give these guys special liberties. We got to give them the benefit of the doubt. And even when you've seen horrible videos, typically speaking, I've joked about this before. If you make the newspaper for fucking up at your job, even if you didn't really mess up, they just fire you because you made the newspaper. That's like common practice. If you make the news and you make your company look bad, you get fired. The one exception to that is cops, where they go, well, we got to get this guy's back. And I even saw there was footage today online of this sheriff who was in Minnesota. He actually led one of the protest marches. And he said, I want you guys to know I don't represent that. And the second the cops do that, everyone goes, okay, we're okay with the cops because you guys are turning your back on this guy and you're saying what he did was reprehensible, and fine, we're okay with you. But more often than not, they don't do that. They go, we're above this, we're not apologizing, and it takes 3 years until it goes to court, and then it's usually a favorable jury and nothing happens.
Yeah, and the standard for convicting cops in this country is crazy, and believe me, this guy still very likely might get off. We'll see what ends up happening, but it's quite possible that this guy won't face justice.
The craziest part about the whole thing, if that video wasn't there, nothing would have happened. Literally nothing would have happened. And we all know that. He would have said, hey, the guy was resisting arrest and he was on drugs. And we called for medical attention the second we realized that he was having problems, and he died while medical attention was helping him out. That's the only reason that we even know that this incident took place, is the fact that there's video, which would seem to me, you know, it's systematic of the fact that probably a lot of this shit going on all the time.
Yes, and also you're right, and it's also worth noting that for all the stuff where, you know, cops have cameras on their vest and like all these things where, you know, I think at this point most police departments around the country they have vest cams and or they have cameras on their cars, like the dash cams or whatever, where you can see things. But that's not how we found out about this, is it? That never seems to be how these things found out. No. It's somebody with a cell phone while the cops are trying to obstruct the view and try to tell them to leave, and they fucking get a picture of it. That's how we find out that these things are happening. And, you know, I would say just to people, because I know there is a tendency, and I've been getting in arguments with people on Twitter about this for the last few days, because there is a tendency that a lot of people have, and I think I don't know. Maybe, at least in my opinion, I think either they are just wrong, or they're at times incapable of maintaining two thoughts at the same, like at the same time, like walking and chewing gum. But so I posted this video of this woman. It's like fat black woman. This was in Baltimore at one of the protests. And she swung on a cop. Well, the cop, what you see in all you see in the video is this white cop comes over, grabs her by the arm. She swings at him, connects, swings again, connects. The white cop keeps his cool completely. Then this big black cop walks up from behind with all his might, blindsides her and knocks her unconscious, punches her right in the face. She falls back, hits her head on the fucking ground. Then they roll her over unconscious, cuff her, like all this shit. And I was just like, yo, this is fucking outrageous. And you just literally knock a woman unconscious. Now there's four cops. There's four cops in the video.
That one I didn't hate as much.
Well, listen, this is the point that I'm trying to make. There, you can, so a lot of people are like, I don't know, don't swing on cops if you don't want to get punched. It's like, dude, you can have multiple views at the same time. You can say, hey, you shouldn't swing at cops. That's a bad idea. By the way, we don't know exactly what the story is, but the cop grabs her first. So just saying, that is true. Listen, if you're a fucking police officer and there's four of you there and you can't handle one overweight woman without punching her in the face, knocking her unconscious, dude, that is a fucking, that is something that unless is absolutely necessary to like protect your family, a man should never do to a fucking woman.
If I saw that with club security, I would have said, eh, she kind of had it coming. If I saw that in any video where the chick connected twice with the dude and some guy got her from behind, I'd go, I don't know. I might be like, eh, you probably didn't need to hit her that hard or that sucks that she just got knocked out. But at some point, you kind of – like if you're being an asshole, you kind of have it like – you kind of have shitty things coming to you. You take two swings at a cop. I don't know. Like at some point, like like that's somewhat predictable. I can understand like, yeah, you took a fucking swing at a cop. Like what do you think's going to happen?
Yeah, I don't know. I just strongly disagree on this one. I think that the whole job of a cop is not just to be some fucking security guard dickhead who's like, yeah, you had it coming. It's like, no, that's not your job. You don't administer punishment here. She assaulted a police officer. Okay, you place her under arrest. A judge decides. She gets a lawyer. She gets a day in front of a judge with a lawyer in a suit and a judge in a robe, and she gets to argue her case, and you can get to the bottom of it. But I just don't believe in this. Like, you knock a fucking woman unconscious. And, you know, I got to say, for a lot of the people who, like, criticize feminism for their dumb fucking equality of the sexes views, it's like, yeah, I don't agree with that shit because it's retarded. And I also do think it's different to fucking punch a woman in the face than it is to punch a man in the face.
There's definitely a difference between who you're cracking in the jaw. In this case, firstly, people are human beings, are going to make errors. In that one, that didn't look to me like that was a cop who went, oh, this is my chance to hit a woman, as much as, oh, I got to handle this situation. He just punched her. Now, you and I could probably watch that same video, or maybe I could watch it again and I go, nope, it's not that way. That doesn't look to me like a guy who perks up and goes, oh, this is my chance to hit a chick. It more looked like he was trying to control the situation. And maybe that wasn't the smartest way to do it, but the chick did just land two in a row on the other guy.
I think he was, I would have to disagree with you on that. But my larger point back into this whole conversation is that I think that, you know, multiple things can be true at the same time. So you can say, let's say Floyd did resist arrest. You could say, hey, don't resist arrest if you're getting arrested. That is good advice. That's good. That's advice that I would give my friends or my child or whoever.
Yeah, but you can't beat the guy.
But you can also say the cops are evil for doing what they did. They can both be true. And for all of these, you know.
By the way, to my point, I could reasonably go if a guy was resisting arrest and like they clubbed him once in the leg. I go, yeah, you really shouldn't do that. But then there's a difference when you club him seven times or you hold your knee over the back of the guy and he goes out while you're doing it. And then it's like, okay, this is clearly malicious. So,
and there's also a strong point of difference between trying to control the situation, getting someone to comply, and after you already have them on the ground in cuffs, just administering punishment for your own, you know, pleasure. A very different thing. But I would say, and it's usually right-wing people don't worry, I'm going to give my thoughts on the left-wing people as well. Just hang on. But it's usually the right-wing people who have this kind of like you know, whatever. It's like, well, they're the authority. Do what you're told, you know, don't resist, blah, blah, blah. How about don't break the law? You know, a lot of like that type of shit. Like, oh, how about this? You want to avoid that situation? You know, don't sell counterfeit bills or don't sell Lucy cigarettes or whatever, you know, the example is today, like that type of, well, they're the law. Do what the law says. It's like, oh, okay. So if we're going to say, if we're going to go by that standard, what about when they pass the law to round up all your guns? What about when they, you know, if you're going to go by that same standard, then it's like, hey, don't be a right winger if you don't want to get kicked off Twitter, right? I mean, hey, don't say anything that offends them. Don't, right? I mean, you can play this game with any rule, and if the rule comes out to be something you don't like, that's kind of a fucked up situation, isn't it? It's like, no, I actually think that it's more proper to think about what's actually right and wrong, and then try to get the rules to be, you know, consistent with what's right and wrong, rather than it just be like, well, they're the rules, so follow the rules. Now, also, that doesn't mean that, let me just say it and then you go ahead. That doesn't mean that it's not wise to know what the rules are and play within them. Okay. Like, but that doesn't mean you can't criticize the rules for being wrong. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah, they also don't clear up, not that I've experienced this personally, so maybe this isn't 100%, but I don't think they clear up their errors that quickly. So let's just go with the total theoretical example that you're being arrested on a Friday. Like, cop just shows up and you're going to be arrested for something stupid, and like, I don't know, you take off running and they're like, well, if you weren't guilty, why do you run? And it turns out you weren't guilty. It's like, well, it's going to be till Monday till I see a freaking judge. And then who knows what happens with this arrest record, because sometimes they don't do that good of a job of expunging from the system, even if you're totally in the right. And then all of a sudden it affects your job record. It's not like they just quickly go like, look, you know what I mean? They don't treat you well. So it's not that fair to go, hey, they're like, their job is they just take you in and then it all gets worked out. And, you know, it's not a perfectly fair system that like, it makes sense to just be 1,000% compliant.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Of course. All right, let's take a quick second. I want to thank our sponsor for today's show, which is Lucy.co. They're our newest sponsor, Lucy Nicotine. It's a company founded by former smokers who are finally making tobacco alternatives that don't suck. It's 2020. Get rid of your cigarettes, unplug your vape, throw out your tins of dip, and go get some Lucy Nicotine gum or lozenges. They actually taste great. I can testify to this personally. I've tried them. I have hated every other nicotine alternative product that I've tried. They make me nauseous. They taste like crap. Lucy actually has really great stuff. So go to lucy.co, try this stuff out. It's the real deal. A subscription to Lucy comes directly to your door each month. It's that simple. Lucy has this delivery system down. And if you use the promo code PROBLEM, you're going to get your first trial order of gum or lozenges at the lowest price they're allowed by law to charge you. The government, our friends at the government, they have rules against giving nicotine away for free. So the team at Lucy is working with us at Gas to get you your first trial order of gum right around $1 and lozenges right around $2. So go to lucy.co, that's L-U-C-Y.co, and use the promo code PROBLEM at checkout. Get rid of your old cigarettes and your vapes. Check this out. I know you want to quit. We all want to quit. This is going to help you do it. Lucy.co, promo code PROBLEM. All right, let's get back into the show. Now, obviously, one of the main reasons why this incident particularly got so much traction is the racial element of it, of course, right? Because it's a white cop with his knee on the back of some black dude. Now, I want to say,
also, there was no way to justify it as being impulsive. Like, sometimes when shots get fired, then you have, it's gray area, were they afraid? This sure was malicious. And usually when it's malicious, you have like a dog's biting the guy's leg, they don't get the dog off him, or someone's hurt and cough, someone gets injured. It's not permanent. This time yes, it was both malicious and permanent, with horrifying video footage that of course there was going to be outrage over. And then even with visual evidence that's stunning, they didn't immediately go, "Are like, we're trying this guy tomorrow." which is really the extent that you need to go to when it comes to, like, otherwise you can predict that you're going to see public outrage on this level.
Yes. No, that's a really, really great point, is that there is, even in situations where, like, I remember this one, the Amadou Diallo, I believe was his name, in New York when I was a teenager, he got shot like 30 times by cops. And he pulled out a wallet that they thought was a gun. But even in a situation like that, you can kind of see where they go, holy shit, we thought he pulled out a gun. All of a sudden, one shot's fired. One cop thinks that's the shot from him coming at us. Before you know it, we all open our clips. It's like 30 seconds. And oh my God, we just fucking empty. You know, like, I don't even know that that was the situation, but you can kind of imagine, you know, like the point you were making, like, oh, this was some knee jerk fucking reaction and we got it wrong. We were scared and we fucked up. This was none of that. This was clearly, you know, like this guy didn't think he was in danger. It wasn't a snap decision. He was sitting there enjoying himself as people were screaming, this guy can't breathe, as the guy's screaming, I can't breathe. So of course, all of that. And I just want to say that I do think, look, people by their very nature, especially when it comes to politics and these type of things, they're reactionary. We all are. You know, us too. People, you see this all the time, whether you see, you know, people on the right wing, you know, are reactionary against people on the left wing, and vice versa. I mean, you see this with the anti-Trump people. I mean, Trump could say anything and they're going to be for the exact opposite. And a lot of times, I think how people figure out what political tribe they're a member of is that they hate the other tribe. And that's that we're like, well, I'm not with those guys. I'm not with them. And you see a lot of this going on right now in this current situation, but this is all over the place. This happens. This is, I think, a huge portion of how politics works. It's just tribalism. And we're all guilty of that to some level. But I would say that if you want to try to, you know, try to take yourself out of that and try to be fair and get, you know, a real understanding of the truth and what's going on here, understand that a lot of people, broadly speaking, who might be considered right-wing or right-leaning, they hear people on the left just abuse the narrative of racism and the history of slavery and Jim Crow and things like that at every turn, at the pettiest turn. They'll, you know, whatever it is, you're, you know, lecturing people about their white privilege. And, you know, if anything, what was the thing, me and Malice were talking about that great quote, they say, the definition of a racist is anyone winning an argument with a progressive. It's like anyone, and if you can just out argue a leftist, then you're racist. That's basically what that means. They use that term for everything. But
I really don't think this should even be a race. It's a human issue.
Well, yes,
there shouldn't be people. Yeah.
Listen, I agree with you, but I'm just saying that try to understand, even if you're reacting against the left wingers who insert race into everything, quite literally everything. And I get that. I get being, believe me, if you listen to the show, you know, I'm right there with you. I think the shit is disgusting and stupid. That being said, you can understand where for Black people, it is triggering, no pun intended, to see a fucking white cop with his knee on a Black guy. I can understand where Black people are particularly outraged about this type of event and feel like, you know, like Black people have been fucked over by the cops from pretty much the very beginning of this country and all the way through and since. And by the way, there's all these different fucking layered like points that I think sometimes the right wing people will have a good point. And sometimes the left-wing people have a good point, but a lot of times they're missing a lot of the different layers to it. So someone on the left might be like, you know, Black people are like disproportionately stopped, harassed, interrogated by police. And then someone on the right will say, yeah, but Black people commit a disproportionate rate of crime. And that's why the cops are located in these high crime areas. And the truth is, you're both right. You're both right. One of those points doesn't actually contradict the other one. They can all be true. The fact is that the high crime neighborhoods are often Black neighborhoods. That doesn't mean that some Black kid who lives in that neighborhood, who's not a criminal, hasn't been getting harassed by the cops more often because he fits the description of what they're expecting a criminal to be. So all of these things can be true. It's kind of, you know, nuanced and complicated. So now, anyway, I just want to say, I want to say, I do understand where people have like get triggered by the racial shit. But there was also a reason why I brought up that example and why I tweeted out that example of that woman who got knocked out, because it's kind of interesting and in a dark way, kind of funny to see the video where this chick swings on a white cop. The white cop just eats him, just eats two fucking punches right on the chin. You're like, okay, okay, okay. And then a black cop runs around and fucking knocks this bitch out. This is getting to the point that you were just making, which is, you know, like, I agree with this. Like, it's almost as if it's not really a racial issue, right? It's kind of a power issue. It's kind of a police issue. You know, it's not like, it's just a lot more complicated than that. And even for left-wing people, and we have some who listen to this show, and I know we have some black left-wing people who listen to this show who I've messaged back and forth with a few times over this topic. I understand where you might be coming from and why, like I said, this shit is triggering for you. But just kind of notice, entertain the thought that maybe there's a lot of forces at work here that are kind of manipulating this situation. And I tweeted something out about this the other day that, again, I think there's a lot of people who like just don't, maybe it's my fault for not making it more clear, but I go, look, there are in America about twice as many white people get killed by the cops as black people do. Now, what I said in my tweet was disproportionality aside, those are the raw numbers. And then everybody was like, well, you're ignoring the disproportionate rate. It's like, no, no, no. I'm making a separate point. Okay. I'm saying that aside, listen, I understand black people are 13% of the population. So if it lined up exactly proportionally, they would be 13% of the people killed by cops. And they're not, they're more than that. Now, is that because there's more criminals in the black community? Is that because they're unfairly targeted by the police? That whole issue aside, I'm not saying it's irrelevant or it doesn't matter. I'm saying I'm making a separate point. Whatever that is, this happens twice as much to white people. Yet those stories don't make mainstream news coverage. Now, doesn't that seem a little bit strange? Whatever the proportionalities are, if something was happening twice as much as something else, don't you think you'd hear about it more? Wouldn't it get coverage? I mean, I've seen horrific videos of a crying man in basketball shorts, you know, kneeling down a hotel hallway screaming, please don't kill me, and the cops light him up. We did a show with Pete Quinones about Duncan Lemp, that they murdered this kid while he was sleeping. This happens all the time. Now, I'm not, when I say this happens all the time, I mean it's a small percentage of police encounters totally, but this happens. And it's worth noting that MSNBC and CNN and all these different news outlets, they're not jumping on those stories. They don't care about those. They only like the stories when it's a black unarmed man being killed by a cop. Now, why is that? I would say it's because they know that they can play off this fucking feeling in the black community, and they can whip up a lot of emotion and anger and divide people against each other. And this is part of the way that they get black people to, you know, vote for the politicians that they want them to. And it's also part of the way that they keep people divided, because that's what this whole thing is about. That's what this whole thing is about. It's how you rule people.
Yeah, because you're saying if they reported on all the white, every one of these, we have videos of these tragic white, you know, it's just tragic. Then it becomes a conversation of like, oh, it's us versus the police because the police have power and they're abusing their power. When they only report on this as if it's happening to black people, then it becomes a racial issue of, hey, look at the horrible situation that black people still have in this country and the injustice. And
right. Yeah, well, look at it. It's like, look, if you report on all the cases, then all of a sudden it becomes kind of obvious that this is an issue of the people versus their government. Right. And the government is this tiny little group of people who's ruling over hundreds of millions of people. There's a ton of us and not too many of them. And that's not the dynamic they want to have. It's pretty hard to rule over people when the people are all together realizing that you're fucking them over. But if it's black people versus white people, well, then what ends up happening? The black people look up to their politicians. The white people look up to their politicians. We fight over who gets to take over, and we're still ruled by the same people at the end of the day.
Isn't it amazing
how divide and conquer?
It's amazing how indoctrinated everyone is that because they don't see these other cases on the news, they feel like you must be making it up, or it's disproportional that it doesn't really happen, or it's not happening with any great frequency. And it's that just that cognitive bias of that you believe what you see with frequency. That's what's so interesting about it, is that you almost seem evil if you go, hey, this is not a race issue. It's a government and power issue, and it's a human issue, and it affects all of us. And let's not start going, hey, this is just something that affects you. Let's all rally together and go, hey, this affects all of us. This is a human issue. It's happened to white people. It's happened to black people. It's happened to everyone. Let's figure out how we can temper the power of the police force. But even you say that and they're like, oh, so you're against black people? You don't think that this is an issue for black? No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that this is horrific. It shouldn't happen to anyone, and it's happening to everyone. And the fact that they're making you feel like it's only happening to you and that you have to be against all white people is exactly that's what they're going for. That's the mistake here.
Yeah. And the truth is that, like, look, obviously, again, back to my walking and chewing gum point, anybody, if you do, like, forget even resist arrest, if you give a cop shit, if you're anything less than a slave when you have an interaction with a cop, you're likely to have a very bad day.
And the most unfair part about that is they've got their dirty tricks to get you to self-incriminate yourself while pretending that if you're not complying in any way, it's showing guilt. And that entire system is just entirely that is corrupt, that they're allowed to lie to you. They're allowed to ask you questions that will force you to incriminate yourself and then give them cause to claim that you're guilty by not responding in the way. I once got pulled over recently when I was in Colorado. I got pulled over for drunk driving, which luckily I don't think I was. And I got off, so I'm going to stand by that I wasn't. But the lady, the tricks they pull are incredible, because the lady's like, hey, why do you smell like you're drinking? I haven't been drinking. Well, you smell like you're drinking. Well, I haven't been drinking. Well, you smell like it. Can you explain to me why I'm smelling that on your breath? And then it's like, okay, are you willing to take this roadside? Well, what happens if I don't? Well, I'm not, then I'm going to have to go call it into the station, but are you willing to do it? What happens if I don't do it? They don't give you an answer. The answer, like, it's craziness.
Yes. There's a lot of dirty little tricks that they have. And, for everybody, just because I can already kind of hear these responses, for anybody who's just kind of like, oh, well, don't resist the fucking cops. Well, don't fucking sell Lucy cigarettes. Don't fucking, have a fake 20. Obviously, as you said, that oftentimes people aren't doing that and they're just accused of doing that by the cops. But even that, my response to a right winger who would say something like that is like, so don't have an AR-15. In fact, don't have a handgun. Also, don't have a weapon at all. You're like, oh, wait a second. But that's your freedom, right? That's your right to do that. He goes, okay, well, it's fucking Eric Gardner's right to sell a Lucy cigarette. You don't get to just pick what your freedom that you care about is, but other people don't have theirs. I don't care if the government says you can't have a fucking assault weapon. I don't care if the government says you can't sell a fucking Lucy cigarette without tax on it. I don't care. I believe in freedom across the board. And so while it may not be a wise idea to resist a police officer, just because someone does, doesn't make them the bad guy. In the same way, it may not have been a wise idea for a slave to try to escape. Oh, they got fugitive slave laws and they're going to catch you and you're going to get a really bad beating when you fucking come back. But he's not the bad guy for doing that, because he has a right to his freedom. So anyway, that's me. I defend all of your freedoms, all of the time, every one of them. That's my position. Like, I'm going to stand up for what I think is right and what's wrong. Okay. So anyway, that's my take on that. And I would just add one more thing that, and this is part of the reason why the state is just such a fucking monster that needs to be just slayed like a dragon out of some fucking old timey fucking tale. Just needs to be fucking destroyed, is that it keeps us in these fucking primitive, barbaric modes of just using brute force. Like, even like things like the income tax. I mean, if you were to say in 2020, like, oh, we have like, how do we pool money together that, you know, unfortunate people who are in bad circumstances need some money? And you were to go like, well, I say you send in a check every year or we throw you in a cage. You're like, what is that, from the year 1215? Like, what? That's how we still do it today? It's the most primitive, brutal, simplistic thing. And I look around and you see things like, you know, like eBay. Okay, for example, right? Where like, if you rip people off, you're essentially stealing, you know, from them. And there's no cops, there's no like prison sentence, there's no, they just have like a credit, you know, system, and you get bad feedback, and then nobody will trade with you again. And there's all of these different like, you know, technological advances we've made. Me and you are having a conversation right now. We're in different states. We're like having a conversation. We're still able to put out our podcast to people around the world who are listening to this. But you're still telling me the only way we have to regulate someone is selling a Lucy cigarette is for someone to throw them in a chokehold. The only thing we have to do to regulate a fucking bad $20 bill is fucking put a knee on the back of someone's neck. Like, come on, we're better than this as people. We have better answers than this all around us, and we could figure this out very easily. I mean, not saying I could, but smart people out there could figure this shit out. And anyway, it's fucking terrible. It's a terrible situation. All right. Now let's move into the second part of this whole fucking story, which in many ways is the more consequential part, because as terrible as this is, it was, you know, it was small. It was one person. As a response to this, this happened in Minnesota, and as a response to this right away, there were huge protests. They did start off as protests, and you know, rightfully so, this deserved to be protested. The guy, you know, the one cop has been charged with murder in the third degree. I would like to see other cops who were there charged, at least all fired.
By the way, if there wasn't this level of outrage, that might not have happened at all, and it certainly wouldn't have happened as quickly. That was reactionary to how upset people were.
Yeah, yeah, I think you're probably right about that. But the protests pretty quickly turned to looting and full out riots. And at this point, we've had looting, vandalism, riots all over the place. I mean, I know in Minneapolis, in Atlanta, in Philadelphia, in New York City, all over the place. I mean, like, it's been getting really bad, really, really bad. And it's just outrageous, barbaric, savage behavior. And I don't care how, you know, angry you claim you are over this fucking murder, that shit is not fucking justified, and it's not okay. And there's so many hypocrisies all over, like on all sides of the fucking story. You know, like you'll see these people like who will say things like, you know, when they're trying to defend the looters and the fucking, you know, the riots, and they'll be like, well, you know, most of them were peaceful protesters, or most of them weren't assaulting people or destroying businesses, or so. It's like, oh, okay. Well, most of the cops didn't put their fucking knee on this guy's neck. Does that make you feel better? Are you now not angry at the cops? No, right? That doesn't really work. You can't turn around and use the fucking few bad apples excuse for the fucking rioters that the cops are always using. I'm sorry. That's like not okay. It doesn't matter. It still should be fucking condemned, and those people should be held responsible for what they're doing. And to this stupid fucking argument that people go, where they go, oh, so you care about property more than lives? Well, first of all, it's not just property. There's already been several people who have been beaten half to death over this fucking shit. Major fucking injuries, major assaults. This is not just property, but what a fucking stupid false choice. It doesn't matter. It's not saying one is better or worse. It's saying it's fucking wrong and unacceptable and fucking savage, uncivilized behavior. It's like if someone fucking murdered your family member and then you just go over to your neighbor who had nothing to do with it and fucking kick him in the face. And you go, oh, so you're saying murder isn't as bad as kicking someone in the face? It's like, no, I'm saying that guy had nothing to do with it and you don't have a right to kick him in the face. All right, guys, let's take a quick break to have a word from our sponsor, which is Untuckit. I love this company. If you've ever seen one of my cable news appearances, I'm almost always wearing an Untuckit shirt because I like to, you know, dress up a little bit, but I'm not like a suit and tie guy. I don't like tucking in a nice shirt. I like to just wear it untucked. But if you've ever noticed, traditional button-ups, they don't look good when you untuck them. They're too long. They're too baggy. It's because they weren't meant to be worn that way. That's where Untuckit comes in. Untuckit shirts were specifically designed to be worn untucked. Untuckit is the brand you've been looking for. It's the original untucked shirt, a modern solution to an old problem with no tucking and no tailoring required. No matter your size or shape, their shirts are the perfect untucked length. If you've ever been frustrated with shirt buying in the past, this is going to make your life a lot easier. Untuckit has changed your shirt shopping experience. It's so easy. You just go onto their website, untuckit.com, and if you use the promo code PROBLEM, you're going to get 20% off your first order. They even offer free shipping and returns on all orders in the U.S. That's untuckit.com, untuckit.com. The promo code is PROBLEM for 20% off your first order. Go check it out today, untuckit.com. All right, let's get back into the show.
What do you think of the cop station they burnt down?
No comment.
I got to be honest, I thought that was kind of cool. I was like, I mean, I'm not for rioting, I'm not for violence, and I'm a big fan of personal property, but that one moment where, and by the way, one of the rioters, they ended up accidentally killing, which was pretty tragic, and in the liquor store next, but forget that. Just burning down the cop station, I'm assuming it was the precinct or at least an area. I think it kind of is the power of the people a little bit. So that now let me ask you this, because I agree.
At least you're taking it to where there's a complaint. And I'll tell you, I do think. I'm sorry, I'll let you answer this question, but I also got to say, I think there is this thing, like the dynamic I was talking about before, where instead of looking at it as the people versus their government, you look at it, it's like white people are the problem. And it does create this kind of mentality where it's like, well, I'm going to go fuck over white people. And in the fucking like ghetto communities, that basically means everyone, like everything. It's like, oh, fucking target white people, you know? Cops, white people, that, you know, like anything, it's all just the system. So they feel entitled to go just fucking, you know, fuck shit up. And the other point I should make is that, I'm sorry, the fucking looters don't give a shit about what happened to this fucking guy. They don't. They're trying to get a fucking free 60-inch flat screen from Target. And they're having fun doing it. Look at the expressions on their faces. They don't give a fuck. They're not fed up. They're not oppressed people. They're fucking just literally opportunistic criminals.
And I love the seeing people on their face equating risk, where like they grab, like, let's say just the doll, and they're like, when are the cops coming? Do I have time to grab something else? Fuck it, I'll just take the doll. And then, you know, they get on like, fuck, I could have grabbed so much more. And then you see some guy who runs deep to the back and he's going to go for the television. The Target thing is somewhat interesting. Firstly, I think to us, private property is the most important and the basis for all of civilization. And so it's like a pretty high ideal. And, you know, I'm not for anyone violating that. What's interesting about going against the, like the giant chain stores is if you just kind of start looking at it as almost war and leverage, that has some sort of a logic that who do you think is going to have the biggest pull with like the mayor and the local police station of being like, hey, we got to change practices. It's if every Walmart and Target got loot, like your mom and pop shops, even if every mom and pop shop got fucking looted and organized, they don't have the same leverage, in my opinion, as like your giant Walmart. They just don't, you know?
Well, I understand the point that you're making, but let me just counter by saying this. Yeah. Number one, this isn't the strategy of the looters, because they're looting mom and pop stores. They're beating up people. They're not trying to gain leverage to change the system. But I got to say, I think the strategy would be completely flawed anyway. Look, here's the truth of it, okay? This is the reality of the situation. And this is part of what pisses me off about the fucking riots and the looting. I mean, what pisses me off the most is that it's fucking I mean, dude, I've been watching just all day long sickening videos. I mean, sickening And I keep watching them because I want to be informed on the situation, but they're like stomach turning videos. There's fucking one particularly that was in upstate New York, where these fucking thugs just beat the shit out of an old woman, outside her store. It's literally, I mean, horrific. They're hitting her with like fucking 2x4s, not even 2x4s, like big, big wood blocks.
And they want to wreck her store.
Yeah. They want to wreck her store. And she's trying to beg them not to, in front of her husband, who's an old man. They're beating him up too. It's just like the most horrific thing you've ever seen. So that's one of the reasons I care about it. And also because, yeah, it's like fucking destroying someone's business is not a joke. Like that's someone's livelihood. That's like, these are real things. Like this whole civilization we have around us, like people have to work and build this. And for you to just come in and destroy it is just despicable. But after that, the other thing, it's like, no, if you actually care about like the growth of the police state and police brutality and fucking all this shit, which I do, and I think I have some degree of credibility in this, because at this point, I'm not so young and I've been doing this for a while, and I've been talking about this shit consistently for at least a decade publicly, and more than that amongst my friends and family. But if you do care about this, it's like, no, here's the truth. You have a whole group. This is how America works, right? There's weirdos like me and you who actually pay attention to politics and have our opinions. And there's normal people who fucking live their lives and have more important shit to do. And there's this whole group of like normal, reasonable people. And when normal, reasonable people see the video of a cop putting his knee on this fucking handcuffed man's neck for 9 minutes before he dies while he screams, "I can't breathe," they go, "That's outrageous. The cops are out of control. We have a problem with the cops." This is what almost everybody I know, and I've talked to a lot of people, just like personally, you know, people in my life, you know, my father-in-law and different people are kind of right-wing leaning white guys, you know? They all kind of felt the same way. They're kind of like, "We're with you. This is wrong. Something needs to happen about this." When people see savages looting, destroying, assaulting
people.
We need
some cops putting people's fists on people's necks.
It's exactly what they want. And by the way, why do you think the fucking cops back off and let them do it? Because they fucking know. You're basically doing PR for the cops. Normal, reasonable people look at people burning cities to the ground and go, "You know what? We need cops. And we might even need a police state. We need cops to go in there and start cracking skulls and fucking let." So yeah, it is fair.
I take back what I said about Target.
No, I'm just saying it's the worst strategic move. You literally, you get everybody, you even get libertarians to start going, "Well, fuck, unleash the cops. Let them fucking put this thing down. Because you know what? The state is a threat to our liberty. But the mob is an equal threat to liberty and a bigger threat to any sense of order at all, which is also important, you know? So like, because you can have basically no liberty in complete chaos. So like, I'm sorry, this is the worst thing that these people could have done. And the people who are like, involved in the protests, they need to fucking speak out against this, because they're your worst enemy right now. In many ways, more than the cops. They're gonna tank your whole fucking movement.
Both sides are now trying to blame it on extremist groups. Like they were saying that really the white Nazis are coming in, which is hilarious.
Dude,
that they would
so
go,
funny.
"This is my opportunity." I mean, if someone was that smart to go, "This is my opportunity to go destroy the black neighborhood," is to join the protest and actually escalate it. I mean, if they did that, like, I guess white Nazis are a lot smarter than we think. Bullshit. On the Antifa side, listen, they might be showing up and ramping it up a little bit. I don't think they're doing I don't think they're the primary looters.
Well, this is a thing is like, look, there have been a few, look, I saw some people claiming that there were, like saboteurs, like there was controlled opposition, like cops coming in and starting the riots. And I'm not above thinking that it's possible that these things happen.
That's more likely than Antifa, though, that the cops themselves are doing it.
The cops themselves go in there, and it would make sense. I'd understand strategically why they'd do that, back to the point that I was just making. There certainly are Antifa there. I see absolutely no evidence that there were far right-wing white nationalists involved in this. I don't think anyone's actually provided any evidence of that. But it also does seem to me that a lot of people And I don't know why. Maybe it's my Jewish background to some degree. I don't know why, but I see, I've never had this kind of like this white guilt thing, but I also don't have the like the typical Jewish like victim mentality either. Like I just kind of look like, I don't know. I kind of try to look at every side and see what, you know, where they're coming from and what I think the truth is. But I don't like I think a lot of Jews have the kind of victim complex thing, and I've never had that. I feel like, oh, I've like Jews have it pretty good in this country, and that's, we don't really have much to complain about. But I also don't harbor this like, oh my God, we were so bad in the past. Like I was like, oh, I don't know. We weren't a part of that, so I don't know what to say. So I have this weird kind of thing where I get some of Black people's grievances. I think others are kind of bullshit, and they need to get their shit together. And then I think that white people, like, in many ways, I think, like, the fucking anti-white hatred is just unfair. And, you know, anyway, I have a somewhat unique perspective on this. But I do think that I see this all around the place, and particularly amongst white people who I know, where they're just so uncomfortable ever blaming Black people for what they do. Like, it's always like, no, what's the narrative here? It's got to be the Antifa, right? It's the white people who are doing it. Or no, it's the cops, or it's this or that. And it's the white nationalists. And maybe there's some truth to that, but I mean, I'm sorry, I've seen too many videos of it. It's also a whole lot of Black people who are fucking assaulting people, burning down buildings, looting, like all this shit. And there is something kind of like racist in a kind of infantilizing way where you're just kind of, you know, this kind of like, well, they're very upset. It's like, oh, so we can't expect them to be civilized. I mean, they're upset about this thing. Like, what? So we just can't call out shitty behavior? Like, they're not capable of doing any better than this? It's like, no, fuck that. They are, and you can't fucking act this way. And don't give me this shit like, oh, we're traumatized, we're upset, we're a voiceless community or whatever. It's, you know, we're so upset about this horrible thing that happened, so we have a right to go do this. Like, no. You fucking don't. In the same way, I mean, I don't know. It's like a lot of people were traumatized over 9/11. Why isn't the war in Iraq justified? Why can't we just start bombing Iraq because we're upset about 9/11? Oh, that's right, because they didn't do it. They didn't do it. So you don't have a right to just go fucking kill a bunch of innocent people. In the same sense, you don't have a right to go fucking rob some business because a cop killed a guy. Sorry, they didn't do that. You don't have a right to start going after innocent people.
One of the things I'm finding interesting is that with the COVID, it's going to be interesting to see if there's an alarming rate of ramped up COVID because people were in social distancing, but they also can't outlaw masks at the protests, which is just so, you know, nice dose of irony right there.
Oh, it's another great point. It's just wonderful to see where, you know, it was way, way, way back. It must have been 3 weeks ago when there were those protests in fucking Michigan and in other places around the world and around the country. And they were protesting, you know, we want to go back to work. We're fucking, you know, like blah, 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 the protesting the lockdowns. And what was the whole narrative? This is so dangerous. Everyone's going to get COVID. Oh my God, it's going to be all over the place. Well, we've completely moved on from that. I mean, that's like over. And those people were like fucking keeping somewhat of a distance and cleaning up after themselves and shit. This is just people fucking brawling all over the place, fucking like, but all of a sudden that doesn't even seem to be a concern. It's like, oh, a different issue of the day came up and I guess we're all over the COVID thing now. So fucking bizarre.
The other thing I'm amused by is every time I see these videos of these guys smashing a cop car, it's like, we're just going to have to pay for that. Like, they're not just going to go, all right, we'll have one less cop car. Oh, shit, we're out of resources.
Well, like, I'll tell you, that is what makes it frustrating as a fucking taxpayer. And you're kind of like, yeah, well, you guys probably won't fucking pay for it. But guess what? I am. I'm going to fucking pay for it. I'll also say, man, like, I do think there's something, and I get this because believe me, I've been there. But there's something in some of the younger libertarians who, you know, are listeners of this show, who are people who, you know, are like, you know, follow me on social media and shit like that. And a lot of them are kind of like, whatever, man, you got to fucking burn shit down to change the system. And you got to, you know, like all this and like, whatever, dude, we're fucking rioting. This will stop things. Not that they're involved in the riotings, but the kind of, you know, the Boogaloo crowd who's kind of cheering this shit on. And you know, it's just, here's the thing. If you're not actually, if you don't have kids and you're not paying taxes, you just don't have skin in the game in the same way that you do once you are. And I used to hate it when people would say this before I had a kid and before I was really paying any taxes. I mean, I just really didn't make much money. But it changes things a little bit. And you have a little bit of a different perspective when you got a kid and you're paying fucking taxes and you're like, motherfucker, I fucking am forced to pay for this shit. And I got to worry about fucking my child growing up in this world. And that is like, dude, the idea is so fucking childish and destructive and shitty to just be fucking destroying things. Now, again, I'm with you. I have no comment on the going after police. Let me just say that with a wink and a nod, okay? No comment on that. But you're right. What do you fucking think is going to happen? What is burning a police car going to do? Nothing. They're just going to get a new one. It'll be just be more expensive. You're just robbing your fellow workers. It's like all this shit. It's like, oh, you're going to break a storefront window. Who do you think's cleaning that up? It's not going to be a billionaire. Who do you think's cleaning that up? You literally just fucking spitting on some fucking poor working class dude. That's all you're doing. You know who's cleaning that up? It's Hector. It's not Bill Gates. It's some fucking dude. He's got to fucking try to pick up the pieces. Because that has to be done.
The other thing that's real scary to me, and I don't think this is going to happen, but I was reading an article the other day. I think it was either The Verge or Wired, one of the two. And there's this new book coming out from Snowden. And he was basically breaking down some of the NSA technology on contact tracing. And so to give the broad scope of what I understood of it, basically they track every phone call record you ever make. And let's say I were to do a terrorist attack tomorrow and the government goes, okay, Rob's a terrorist. Like, let's look at his call records for the last 5 years. And then they create basically like a map of who all my contacts are, who all those contacts are. And then you could theoretically take down a terrorist cell because you see everyone who you're in contact with. Now, it's apparent that that technology is not just running for terrorists. It's not running abroad. It's running all the time. And that's 5-10 years ago technology they're already willing to admit that they have. So who the fuck knows the extent by which they're, you know, pulling tabs on us all the time. We also know that they're tracking us where we are with our cell phones because they said that they can, with the current contact tracing, that was just, hey, remotely, who you're talking to on the phone with. Now it's who is your cell phone near at any given point in time. It'd be really interesting with this rioting and looting, especially with the Antifa possibly getting the terrorist designation.
Yeah.
If they start pulling people in off of phone records, Facebook groups, even if it's just 10 people to make an example so that everyone abandons these groups, that is not a win for freedom. And that's a really scary prospect of some of these technologies that have secretly been, you know, running the whole time, but they can't admit, hey, we've got these, if they started putting them to use.
Yeah, no, I mean, look, you're right. And it is not a win for freedom. And that's one of the things that's so frustrating about all of this. And we'll see how far this goes. And maybe things will calm down in a few days. But I'd say it's like, look, who are the losers in this situation? Well, obviously, that guy, George Floyd, he's a loser in this situation. He lost his life. The fucking people who have been assaulted, they're fucking, you know, obviously losers in this. They've fucking going to be in the hospital. Some of them critically. People will die over this. There'll be more deaths. I guarantee it when we figure out what's going on. There are several people in critical condition. Business owners, communities, the people of those communities who they've been burned to the ground now. These are the businesses where they shop, where they work, where they live. These are their lives. They've lost big. And you know, who are the winners? It's the government. They win. This is exactly what they want. It's like you have this fucking caught red-handed example of the government fucking abusing one of its people in a horrific manner. And what ends up fucking happening? Well, their strategy is always divide and conquer. Could it be going any better for them right now? You've got fucking black people all fucking riled up about how fucking, you know, white supremacy and you can't walk down the street without getting killed and all this shit. And you've got white people all over going like, man, these black people are acting like fucking animals. That's exactly what the rulers want. Everybody divided against each other. So they win. The police are going to end up winning. They're going to get budget increases and shit like that because, oh, we need law and order now, you know? So it's like, and Trump. Trump will probably win from all of this because, God damn it, say whatever you want to say about the guy. and fucking there is plenty, but he knows how to do this one thing, and it's just getting him through the whole, he knows how to goat the media into taking his fucking, it's like what Trump will do is he'll say, and I know he does this intentionally. I know he does. He'll say an exaggerated version of what is a popular opinion. And then he gets the media to snap back against the exaggeration and go, you're crazy, you're crazy. We're all the way over here. Here's your popular opinion and we're over here. And he goes, haha, I just positioned you to be against a popular position. And I'm seen as the guy defending it. So Trump will say something like, when they start looting, we start shooting. And the media is like, Trump's threatening the death penalty and blah, 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 and all this shit. And oh my God, he would shoot American citizens. But the vast majority of normal people go like, well, we can't just let people burn down our society. So now he's positioned as being the one who's against this enormously unpopular thing. And they're all the ones, you know, like excusing it. You see this thing, you were saying when he's talking about labeling Antifa as a terrorist organization, there's this I am Antifa hashtag going and they're getting people to be like, I am Antifa. It's like, dumb. Okay, that's good popular. Luck. Good luck with that one. How are you guys almost 4 years into this, still this fucking stupid that you can't not take the bait once? You can't ever realize, oh, this is, you know how this didn't work out the last 86,000 times? I don't think this one's going to work out for us either. They just fucking can't figure that shit out. It's unbelievable. It's like surreal to fucking watch. All right. I'm trying to think like if there's any other angle of this that I want to hit. But I think that there's something about, there's definitely something related to the idea that for, you know, the press having some culpability in all of this. And the truth is that a lot of times I think that the corporate press does things for, well, obviously for nefarious reasons, but a lot of times I think it's to score cheap political points. And it's one of the things we've said a lot of times on this show where it's like, it's terrifying because you're like, there's two options here. It's like, do you not fucking realize the fire you're playing with, or do you, and you're doing that intentionally? And I remember talking about this back when Donald Trump was meeting with Kim Jong-un and when he met with Vladimir Putin, and the press is just trying to fucking like kill the fucking meeting before it happens. You know, like they're just trying everything they can to make Trump out to be a traitor or reckless or all this. And you almost sit back and you go, guys, we're talking about two nuclear armed countries having a talk. Would you actually risk trying to fuck this up just to score political points? And like, it's kind of hard to believe that this is part of a devious plan, because you're like, guys, nuclear war will fucking, like, that isn't good for you either, you know? But look, what the press has been doing for the last 3.5 years is really convincing large portions of the population that a Hitlerian-like leader has taken over America. You know, he's a Russian agent and all of this shit. He's a racist. He's going to fucking, you know, lock you guys in cages and all of this fucking shit. That's real. That scares a lot of people. That gets a lot of real people agitated, particularly people who are not the smartest people, people who are a little maybe off their rocker to begin with. You know, the type of people who are fucking, you know, out there fucking looting and vandalizing and shit like that. Those type of people. That should, you know, that might affect them. And then for the last 3 months, they've been terrifying everybody about this fucking virus and kicking tons of people out of work and essentially locking people in their homes. And it's hard for me to imagine that that isn't somewhat related to everything that's going on right now. That this is coming right off of the heels of like all this anxiety, all this pent up, you know, like aggression. And this is almost like a response in some ways. Obviously, the whole fucking police brutality thing was like the spark. But I'm saying like the gasoline that's been all around here, I think might have just been a lot of fucking pent up rage and people fucking being stir crazy. And now after fucking all the parks and, you know, places they go and all the businesses being closed and they're basically at home, this is your fucking like reemergence into fucking the world. And I think that the press has a lot of blood on their hands and destruction on their hands. Once again, big shocker. All right. I think I pretty much ranted about what I wanted to. Any other thoughts from you, Rob?
Nope. Hopefully next week and they riot again so I can get back out there, have a little fun.
Get back out there, get some more stuff. All right, spread around that COVID and the AIDS. Get it going throughout the whole community. Let's get herd immunity up. All right, buddy. Well, as always, it's great to talk to you, and we'll see you guys soon.
Plug some dates. I think Rochester's still happening. You're still doing Vegas.
That's right. I'm hosting Freedom Fest in July. That's going to be fucking awesome, man. If you guys can make it out to Freedom Fest this year, I'm excited. It's going to be my first one. We're good to go. We're moving forward with it. Freedom Fest, Las Vegas in July, and Rochester also in July, I believe, right?
You know, let's actually find out that date and start plugging it so that people are there. I don't want to drive up all the way to Rochester.
Yes, that's right. We'll figure that one out. But I think me and Rob are going to be in Rochester. But we'll let you guys know that for sure. Anyway, see you next time. Peace.